If I ask in here, how many people here love Jesus? I imagine every hand would go up, okay? Next question would be, how many people are loving Jesus?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. How are you loving him? Well, you would probably tell me all these things that you're doing, which is awesome things, okay? But all the things are good things. But we fall out of love with Jesus by doing too many things for Jesus. Carol has been teaching on Wednesday nights at the church in Revelation. And one of the things that Jesus brought to their attention was, return to your first love. And that would be him. And when we do that, truly, the things in this world gets lighter and lighter. Because you don't put emphasis on the things of the world. You put them on Jesus. You know? And I was thinking about Carol and I, we celebrated our 46th wedding anniversary. That's why she smiles so much. But at home, I can get up in the morning and say, I got out mow grass today. You know? Man. And Carol will get up in the morning and say, man, I gotta do dishes. Well, I could sit on our new deck and let the grass grow over top of my head. I'd be happy. You know what I'm saying? And no doubt, Carol could be in the house and let the dishes pile up above the sink and get paper plates. But when I realize I want to cut the grass for my wife. Number one, she don't like snakes. And snakes have a habit of hanging out in tall grass. Okay? So, it's not that I have to mow grass. I want to mow grass. I want to make the look as nice as I can and shouldn't worry about snakes. So, that makes what I'm going to do a lot easier. I'm doing it for my bride. And Carol, when she cleaned the house, I walk in there, I smell lemon scented dishwashing liquid. It smells so good. She had other things she could have done, but she does it for me. It makes her task a lot easier. But we're returning back to our first love, and that's one thing, like yesterday being our anniversary, you kind of go back, remember. Wow, we fell in love with one another. You know, and through the years, you're just trying to get through them, aren't you? Sometimes you get in life, if you've been married, you're just trying to get through another day. Right? Because you get the whole weight of the world on you. Not that you don't love each other. You're not taking time to love one another because they're letting the world come in and distract you. And that can happen with a relationship with Jesus. You know, just think, every morning you go, oh Lord, I love you, man. Man, how can I show my love to you today? You know? And then let that be what you do that day. You know? It's not taxing the world or conquering the whole world. It's just loving Jesus. Realize what he did for us. He didn't have to go to the cross for me. He could have stayed in heaven. He could have stayed up there, returned, let Satan have everything down here. But no, he loved me enough that he went to the cross for us. Look at that. So returning back. Maybe this afternoon would be a good time when you get home. And just get your, let's go to the book of John again. Open it up. Get your favorite cup of coffee or tea or water or nothing. And just read it again. Let that word of God just spark that thing in your heart again. And if you find yourself being off center for a while, say, I'm sorry, Lord. Just bring that relationship like us, you know. When I find out I do something that she doesn't like, hey, honey, I just realized I shouldn't have said that or done that. Oh, it just kind of brings a back together, you know. Yeah, you know, it just makes you feel better, you know. I know she understands at times. I know when I used to work, you know, you have all the problems of the world, and you come home, you got problems. Just not problem, but married life, raising kids. There's a challenge there, you know. But she understood that, you know. And God understands what we go through. But man, we prioritize, let him be number one. You're slowing down, guys. The things of the world. Don't let it, you know. Don't let it sever your relationship from Him. And that's why that's where we change inside of us. And that's where we do, like Carol was saying, you know, Lord, just walk up down the streets and invade our homes and stuff, our schools. And how He does that is through you. Remember, you are the body of Christ. And I was thinking, you know, you want to be careful how you do this one, because you might get a visitation by the people who are the stars. But even near your schools in your town, you know, you sit outside and just worship the Lord and pray to bring that spirit of God down there in that school area to fight the turmoil, the satanic spiritual warfare that's going on inside the school. But again, I'm not saying don't walk up to the front of your school and start praising God, and then, because, well, God tell you, but I'm just saying they're going to think there's something wrong with you, and you know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying, change the atmosphere. You know, like in here, some of us that right now are having a very tough time, but you came here and you sat in the atmosphere of the Lord as we praise and worship. The Spirit of God just dwelled up inside of us, and we said, wow, electrifying. And you can feel His presence in here. It started changing you a little bit. It started making you relax some. It's like, oh God, I need this. I need this. Right? That's where we go. You know, you just take the Lord with you. When you go to Walmart in line, man, it just, I prayed many times in line at different places. People getting frustrated and just, you know, just change the atmosphere in there. That's what He's called us to do. And we're going to, communion is going to be our service today, but I want to talk about, we'll be in 1 Corinthians we're going to be at. And I want to share what Paul said about communion. But I want you to understand where Paul was coming from on this. Corinth was a town which he wrote the letter to Corinthians in the church. But Corinth was an ungodly town. I mean, they worship everything you think of out there. And you name it, they give it a deity label and they worship it. And it's just really, really perverted. And that is a perfect place to plant a church. Amen? Think of that for a second. Wow. What's the best place to plant a church? Would it be in the center of town, in the middle of all the devil's playground, or outside of town somewhere? I believe it's in the center of town. You know? We have been created, as Carol was saying, to change. You know? Originally, when the town was built years ago, the first thing they established was a church. It was built in the center of town. They held their town meetings and stuff. They're awesome. Commerce, I mean, it's awesome. It was the hub. And from the church, the town grew. Now sometimes we kind of like surrender the towns to the devil. And we want to go outside of town somewhere where we have, it's more peaceful. And I don't think we've been called to do that. I think we're supposed to be a changer. That's just my own opinion on that. And that's what Paul did. He established a church in the center of this town. Woo, and had a handful of followers coming. Worshiping the Lord. Awesome. Awesome thing. But see, Paul gets a letter written to him from some of those in the church. And man, I'm telling you what. Joe's on this. Fernando's on this. I'm telling you what, we're getting together, they're eating, and they're doing all this kind of stuff. And Paul said, wait a second. See, establish a church for Jesus, and the Christians are coming in. But then the world started coming in. Hey, what's going on here, man? We just got here worshiping Jesus. We love Jesus. Oh, man. Can I come in your assembly? Can I come to church? Well, yeah, come on in. So yeah, they come on in. They sit down here. Oh, man. Hey, buddy, how you doing? You from Mexico? Oh, yeah, cool. I always want to go down there, man. That's cool. I saw you raising your hand and worshiping the Lord. I don't think that's really right. You know, you're kind of goofy doing that. You know what I'm saying? You do. I don't think men. I mean, women supposed to be really ones in church. You know what I'm saying? Hey, listen. When the pastor turns his back, I got a old bar old crow out back, you know, a couple of nips there and stuff, you know. We can get through his preaching a lot easier that way, you know. We're kind of tipsy, you know what I'm saying? Well, good, good. Well, as soon as he turns his back, I'll come around, okay, and get you, okay? Oh, hey. Before I forget, Chuck, I'm going to tell you what Bob Donnelly did. I'm telling you what, he's riding that motorcycle the other day. And he was up now, running red lights and everything, that thing. Oh, I'm telling you what, I don't think we should let him come in. No, I don't think, he don't need, is that a Christian? I don't think that is. I think, didn't the, God say we all obey the law? We just need to get rid of Bob. He don't need to be in fellowship anymore. What I'm showing here is that the world will come into the church, but they bring the church into the world. And folks, that's what took place there. See what I'm saying? And Bob wasn't in the red light. I don't think he was. I'm not prophesizing, okay? But see, the church will come into the assembly and start changing the assembly instead of changing the world. Compromise. And that's what's taking place. Paul saw this compromise. The letters he was writing. I mean, the church was built upon the Word of God, loving Jesus. Turn our back on the world. I want none of that stuff. But and with a desire to reach the world, they brought the world into the church. And the world started changing the church. He said, fighting among yourselves, gossiping about one another, talking about other churches. Oh, should never take place. Paul writes a letter to him. We need to straighten some things out. Now, for a second, think about this. The world comes in, and the world is meaning anyone who's not a follower of Jesus. Okay, not born again. Can be a lot of nice people out there. Amen? I was always a nice person all my life. Huh, Kenny? Even though he about shot me one time going hunting. Yeah. So they come in. Not knowing that they come into your territory. Put it that way. God's territory, looking for something. And we start surrendering our beliefs, compromising, because we don't want to offend somebody. Maybe they got some money. Or a banker, you know what I'm saying? We start compromising. Oh, yeah. I should have said something, but you know, I want to make sure they come back next week and next week. And well, be led by the Spirit on it, but today might be the only day that somebody has to hear the truth. Amen? So we do that out of love. But the main thing Paul was saying, don't let the world take over the church. But at the same time, let's break it down a little bit farther. If you are a born-again Christian, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? God lives here. Born again, God has planted Himself inside of you. Boom! In the middle of all that mess that you are. Amen? All that cardinal stuff. You know? Your spirit, when you got born again, your spirit became new. Boom! Attached to the Lord. But it came inside a bunch of filth. Stinking thinking. All the stuff we used to do, right? Amen. We ain't gonna name that stuff. But it came to change you, to strengthen you, and to be used by you. Think of that. That's why it came inside. That's why the church that Paul had was planted, was shared the love of Jesus. I don't mean to step on your toes, honey. To show the love of Jesus and to change the town. To change it. Not just to have a place of a sign up saying Jesus lives here. Which is awesome. Amen. But to change. To be an influence. To be one that stands in the gap to intercede and pray. Wow, and to make a difference. And that's what has been deposited inside of you. The Spirit of God. To give you the strength to overcome the things of the world. Isn't that awesome? See, that's our first love inside. How do we please our first love? Number one is surrendering everything to Him. How did my wife please her first love of human form? Cleaning the kitchen. Do you understand? Going to clean each room. That pleases me. I help out too, don't I, Carol? I made the mess, I cleaned it up. Yeah, that doesn't really work that way. It gets to the point, she gets tired of the mess, she cleans it up, because I won't do it at times. But that's what takes place, you know. Cleaning it up. And that's where God wants to be with us. The whole temple. Your mind, your spirit, your soul. But it's 24 hours a day. And we got too much of the world sneaking back into us. Amen? Attacking us. Getting into your mind. Because the mind isn't staying on the Word of God. It is right now for a little while. But when you step out of here, the things of the world is going to try to get back into this temple of the Lord. And start dwelling on it. Bring fear. Bring hatred. Bring, oh, you see how they looked at me at church today? I seen that pastor. He looked right at me. If I looked at you, because I'm just preaching. You know what I'm saying? I would never purposely embarrass anybody unless it's Chuck. Okay? But Satan don't do that. I've been. When I get born again and gone to church, the pastor look at me and be saying something. Did he know? I'm never coming back there again. He had no idea. Okay. The thank God that the Holy Spirit into me brought conviction. You know, I preached messages before, had four different people come to me of different walks of life. Man, that was really meant for me today. It's the Word of God. You know, I just brought it forth. It was meant for me also. But getting back to our first love. Oh, man. You know, we have an album at home that has all the pictures of our wedding days and stuff, you know. And back when I had my own teeth. I mean, it's just amazing. But it rekindles that thing, doesn't it, Carol? It just, oh, wow. And you see a lot of our loved ones who's going on, you know, grandma, grandpa, mom, dad, you know. Wow, he just brings a feeling over you. Boom. And that's why I truly believe when I read the book of John, it helped me slow down and rekindle things. Man, look at the love. Now remember, I say in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can get through this. Not just get through it. I can change it. Up here. You know, our first love. And Paul was trying to help him out and said, listen guys, you're doing an awesome thing. You're out there. But man, you're letting the world come in. And you got to get the world out of the church. Otherwise, don't let the world control what the church is going to say and do. Go back to Pentecost. That's the church. That was, man, they were changing the world upside down. And over the years, we allow ourselves to get contained in this box. Not on purpose, and not everybody here. I mean, I'm just the church itself. Do you follow me on that? And man, when you realize the power you got to change your own life to the Lord and His Word, then it influences the world around us. And that's what Paul was trying to instruct them. Hey, listen. Number one, they were coming together and they were eating. Eating and drinking, that was the main focus. You know? And maybe some of you come today because I cook really well. I cook better than I preach. I don't have any idea on that part, okay? But the thing of it is, they forgot why they're coming together. And they had to be reminded. And same we would gather here. You know? We heard the Lord speak to Ryan today. Just reminding us. You got a song in your heart. Every one of you have something in your heart, and when you got born again, you used to sing. Amen? Or hum. I hummed, I can't remember words that well. Man, oh, it was a great day. You got to get work today? Yep. Oh, got to haul manure today? Yep. Got to take care of the kids today, change the diet, whatever it might be. No matter what you encountered, you had a song in your heart. Just make it, sing it. You're the only one who can sing it. Go back to where he got you at and rekindle that thing. Man, look forward to the time of fellowships and coming together. Look forward to, oh man, oh, it's morning time again. My Bible time. That's why I was going to open my Bible up. Sorry. Some of you guys are like this because you got your Bible on your phones. How are you doing it anymore? That's one thing that's awesome is that we don't have to be away from the Word of God at all anymore because it's everywhere. You know, it's on our phones, everything. But Brother Paul addresses this. Let me share this and we'll break bread together. But 1 Corinthians, and I'm in chapter 11. I'm going to start with verse 18. I'll just read through here. Just kind of, but that's where Paul's thought is. He's got a letter from the church complaining about all this stuff that is going on. And he's like, man, how can this be? And you know, they allow the world to come into the church and take things over. We got to correct that. He said now in verse 18, for in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that division exists among you. And in part, I believe it. At least you guys are arguing. There must also be factions among you in order that those who are approved may have become evident among you. Otherwise, there has to be someone there that's studying in the Word of God. Someone there, hey, listen, speak up, he's saying. Therefore, when you meet together, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in your eating, each one takes his own supper first. And one is hungry, and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses in which to eat and drink? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I will not. And what was doing is people was coming first to the house of God. You know, Penny showed up, and she was bringing steaks and baked potatoes and sour cream and dinner rolls. Oh, my. Daryl showed up as a bachelor of a can of tomato soup. Okay? And they were sitting there, and Penny was eating her steaks. And here's Daryl. Oh. He said, man, first of all, you forget what's going on. If you got plenty and someone has zero, share. But they weren't doing that. You know what I'm saying? It just, so we got to remember whatever God's given it is for us, but also share for those in need. But they get so set on themselves. You know? Somebody's sitting here right now thinking, as soon as you get some preaching, there's only one bag back here of plain chips. I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it back here, you know? But that's what they were doing. They forgot. Like today, we come together today to worship Jesus. Worship God. That's the whole course of the thing. His presence here in our life. This is, thank Him. And through that, He touches our lives. He heals us. He strengthens us. He gives us revelations. He gives us forgiveness. Oh, man. Then we hear His words. Okay, going back out there. Man, I'm going to follow Jesus. Woo-wee. Look at the difference I can make. That's what we come together for. Poor. And sometimes we can forget that. Because we get caught up in life. I better go to church this morning. If I don't show up, the preacher will be mad at me. Not that you don't love Jesus. Amen? It's because you get wrapped up in things. And you forget it. It's not about the preacher. It's about your brother beside you or behind you. It's coming in the fellowship to encourage one another. You know? Share your love, share your testimony, share your burdens of your heart. We can lift them up together, man. And this is an awesome thing that God's given us, this life. Man, to do that. So that's what Paul was instructing them. Verse 23, Paul says this, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Verse 25, "In the same way, He took the cup also, after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until it comes." So right there, you proclaim that Jesus died for your sins. You proclaim that your debt has been paid. It brings to your remembrance what the Master did for us. Wow, all the stuff, y'all. Oh, I remember, that's what he did. He paid my penalty for my sins. Wow. I remember that. Sometimes we forget the great big debt was paid for us. We get wrapped up in too many other things. Wow, Jesus. I'm sorry, man. I got way with going on. I had too many stuff in my head going around that I shouldn't be listening to. You died for my sin. I want to die to myself to follow you. Help me. Help me share your word. Therefore, Paul says, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if you judge yourselves rightly, you should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, in order that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, or that you may not come together for judgment. And the remaining matters, he said, I will address it later on. So what he's saying, hey, listen. Take time to examine yourself, and mean this. How much of the world have you brought into your life? How much of the world are we entertaining? See, the world meaning sin itself, it still has the same penalty. You know, when we open the door and let it come in, it's still coming to destroy you. Satan comes to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. It's always that way. Paul said, man, listen, some people have died premature because of the things in the world. He didn't say they went to hell, but they were removed. That hedge of protection was removed. God said, okay, well, you know, if you want to, this is me saying it. My head is like, okay, listen, I died for you. I gave you eternal life. All I did is actually live for me until I come to get you. But if you're going to proclaim me as Lord and Savior, but live a lifestyle like that, and you're misrepresenting me, and you're taking people down the wrong path, can he eliminate somebody? Or do you think, okay, this will be better off if they weren't proclaiming? I don't know. But who wants to take that chance, right? I'm not saying you goof up, God wipes you. I'm just saying that this is how awesome it is to check ourselves. We're going to be followers of Jesus. But he says, watch out for those wolves in sheep clothing that come into the church and they try to take what you have in your hand, the Word of God, and water it down. They bring the button to the church, right? The Word of God says, but, and it waters it down to the point that it's only the world really what they're hanging on to. That's an awesome thing about God. If we truly examine ourselves, say, Lord, you're right. I got too much of the world in me. Man. Maybe some of us here are embracing right now, we're living in sin. We just embrace that, we're going to live in sin. Truly, I believe that the Word of God says that knowingly, purposely, you're going to walk out here today and you're going to continue to live in sin. Now, I'm not saying sin, but you know, I really suggest do not break the bread and drink from the cup today. Because what that does, you proclaim that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior, he died for your sins. I'm a follower of Jesus. And there is a difference between resisting sin, like the Bible says to do, resist the devil. There's going to be a fight going on. You know, maybe you resist and last night you fell, but you back up again. A lot of difference between that and saying, listen, I know what the Bible says, but you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Purposely do that. Then you need to work things out with the Lord. You know, you need to let Him convict you of your sins to repent from them. And He'll do that. You know? But it's the world. It's when the world starts controlling what God has established, we have to watch out for. So let's just take a couple minutes. Everyone, just let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Something in your heart to repent from. Need help? Something? Speak with the Lord on that. Where our praise and worship team have a song you share. We just want to search. Because God desires not none of us to perish. And He desires that we get off track to get back on track, right? Amen? To get back on track what He wants us to do. Loving Him. So Lord, help me overcome that sin. God, that temptation is greater. Show me, God, how to resist this thing. And You will. And You have that authority through the name of Jesus. Father, we do come before You today. We just thank You so much. We thank You for Your sacrifice. We thank You that You redeemed us. We thank You that, the Lord, that You don't give up on us. Even when we sin, You don't give up on us. We thank You that You took us as all our imperfections. And through Your blood, and only through Your blood, You made it perfect in the sight of God. Our heart desire is to be like You. Help us get the world out of our life. Show us areas that we're letting it back in. But mainly today, right now, we want to thank You for Your sacrifice. If it wasn't for the cross, we'd have no hope sitting here today at all. We had no hope of being released from addictions or wayward thinking. We have no way of pleasing Yahweh, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Help us to forgive those who have hurt us. Help us to forgive those who mistreat us. You did, Jesus, all the things that we did to You before we come to know You. All the things that the world did to You when they put You on the cross that You allowed them to do. You had a heart of forgiveness. And we just pray today that heart of forgiveness will grow in us. If we look more at You, look more at Your life, look, study Your word and realize, man, You wouldn't ask us to do anything that You hadn't already done. And You wouldn't ask us to do anything that the Holy Spirit won't give us strength to do that. We just search You for strength, guidance, wisdom, and Lord, that we may be used by You. For those around us, just to be that light. Sometimes by telling the truth of our failures helps encourage others that You forgave us. And do not respect Your persons, that You do that for others.